I don't think any of you are going to argue with me about the fact that we live in a world which is filled with unfairness. Now, I'd like to begin by painting a picture of unfairness. Unfairness can be demonstrated by the fact that you can be... Tim, can you pop up that picture? You can be a small dog wanting to be fed with a big bowl. Dougal thinks that it's unfair that our other big dog gets fed. So I think he's sort of appealing to us by carrying the big bowl around. Oh, hello. Thanks, Tim. Help me out. What are some of the things that really provoke you that's unfair? Okay, so a criminal gets caught and they're guilty, but they're given a light sentence. Getting in trouble for someone else's mistake. That's pretty tough. Yes, so you work really hard, you might save up or you might put a lot of effort into something and then someone else just gets it handed to them. And it's a new one, yeah. Yours is secondhand and broken. Yep. What else? Nick shared with me one. Do you want to share? What really upsets you? Can't remember. It's gone. When you are accused of something... Yeah. So when you're accused of doing something that you're not guilty of, or someone says something about you that is really wrong. Lots of unfairness. How do we... one of the really sad things about Easter, there's lots of things, but there'll be a lot of pastors that are going to tell people the wrong message. What they're going to say is basically this, that Jesus died on the cross to save you. And what that means is that God wants you to be healthy, to be prosperous, and to be wealthy. In other words, Jesus died on the cross so that you, your life will have unfairness removed from it, as though God is now going to shield you from pain and suffering. And he's going to fill your life... Somebody said that would happen. That's so unfair. But it was so exciting. I love the look on your face. Yeah, it's all on camera. That's good. That's all right. What the heck was I saying? Yeah, pastors' wrong messages. They're going to say, like, see, there'll be pastors, if they watch this video, they'll say, see, Chris got what he deserved. Because I'm about to blow their messages to smithereens. Because there'll be people that will tell you Jesus died on the cross so that you could be happy. Essentially, so that you wouldn't suffer. Essentially, so that if you're sick, then you'll be healed. Or if you need more money, then you can just name it and claim it. And you'll get it. And I think that's really sad. Because that's not the gospel. It's not what we see in the life of Jesus. It's not what he taught us. And it will rob you. Thinking like that will rob you of the richness that Christ has in store for you. What he actually does want to give you. He does want you to be rich, but not in money and not in the world's pleasures. He wants you to be rich by learning to overcome unfairness. And he demonstrates this for us in his own life and in his own crucifixion. Now, I'm a pastor and I'm a father of four kids. And there are times when I'm genuinely, seriously busy, when I have a lot of things on my mind. And one of my kids will come up up to me, or I've just got home, just got out of the car, about to run to the computer or answer the phone, and one of my kids will want to ask me a question. How do you think I respond to that? Of course I'm gracious and patient and kneel down on the ground with them and give them all. No, of course not. I'm too busy, is frequently heard. Not now. Go away. Have those words been said to you? Have you, as a parent, I know I have said something like, life's not fair, suck it up, to my kids. And there's a sense in which that echo comes from my childhood, because I'm sure my parents have said, you know, when you cut it up, cut something up, the pie up, and you get the smaller half, you know how you get that, and life's not fair. That's, or for example, I'm 6 years older than my sister, and my sister always used to complain. She wanted to go and watch Werewolf in London. Well, it's not going to happen. Actually, I don't think my mum even knew I went and saw that, but you know what I mean. You know, she always wanted to do what I was doing, and she thought it was unfair. Our life is so full of unfairness. And so I'm busy, and I'm a pastor, and my kids want to ask me a question, and I'm... That's not how Jesus is. You know, when Jesus, he was so beaten, he was so tortured, and on his way to be crucified, do you think he's busy? Do you think he's got some things on his mind? Of course he has. He's a wreck, physically, emotionally, spiritually. He's about to die and bear the sins of the world upon him. And there are women weeping for him about the injustice of this whole event. And what does Jesus do? But express to them his care. He says, don't weep for me. Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves. How is that? You know, women in the ancient world are unimportant. They don't count for anything, but Jesus cares for the unimportant, for the weak, for the lowly. In the moment of Christ's crisis, we see him caring. We see him demonstrating that, despite the burden that he is carrying in his body and in his soul. How do we overcome unfairness? We need to care for the unimportant, for the kids in our lives, or the younger kids, you know, our brothers and sisters who are younger than us, or the little kids at school that are so easily ignored or pushed away. But it doesn't end there. The Bible so matter-of-factly says, when they get to the place of Calvary, it basically says this: there they crucified him. They crucified him. That's all it says. But we understand what that means. They nailed him to the cross. And they hoisted him up. And you can imagine the searing agony that was going through his body. And you know, When you strike Jesus, what comes out? When you nail him to the cross, what comes out? Yes, blood. But something more precious. You know, Jesus says this: Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Strike Christ and get a blessing. Jesus cares for you. Jesus, where's he gone? Jesus cares for you so much. Maybe you think that you're unimportant, or maybe you can relate to the soldiers that were nailing Christ to the cross. Maybe you carry in your life a tremendously serious sin, or an addiction, or a captivity. strike Jesus, and out comes blessing. How do you overcome unfairness? Well, from Christ, I learn and see that I need to care for people more than I care for myself, more than I care for my sense of justice. You know, when Jesus was hanging on the cross and one of the criminals was abusing him, what do you get from Jesus? What do you get from Jesus when he was hanging there and people were mocking and sneering at him, saying, you saved other people, you can't save yourself? What do you get from Jesus? You don't get anger. You don't get a justification. You don't get fire down from heaven. When Jesus was dying on the cross, which was a long and painful process, one of the criminals protected Jesus, stood up for Jesus, and said, don't you realize we're here condemned because we are criminals. We deserve this. But this man has done nothing. This man is unfairly treated. And this criminal calls upon Jesus to save him. Now, Jesus can't even die in peace. And yet Jesus willingly pours out his life and continues to minister even up until his last breath. He pronounces to this criminal, this day you will be with me in paradise. When you strike Jesus, what do you get? You get blessing. This is how we overcome unfairness in our lives. It's not by avoiding unfairness. It's not by striking those who are unfair to us. It's not by righting the wrong. It is by caring for people like Jesus did. And it's not the gospel and Jesus on the cross. It's not just an example to us, because we need a change of heart. We need to be made capable of caring for people who are unimportant or who are doing us harm, like the soldiers did to Jesus in nailing him to the cross. They did him harm. They treated him unfairly, and yet Jesus blesses them by praying for them. We need help. We need more than an example. And this is why Jesus dies on the cross. Jesus died on the cross to pay for all that we have done, which has been unfair. And he has died on the cross to unite us with his heavenly Father so that we can have the Holy Spirit operating in our lives so that we then get a choice. So that when we're abused at work or when we're driving the car and someone gives us the finger or swears at us because they think that we've cut them off or upset them in some way, we have a choice now in Christ to care for the person. We can call upon Jesus and ask him, Lord, help me. I'm being struck, and make what comes out of me a blessing and not a curse. This is the gospel. This is what the gospel is to mean for us in and through our lives. How can we do this? Well, I think we need to be like Jesus and commit ourselves to the Father. You know, when Jesus is on the cross and he's doing the work of the Heavenly Father and he's finished that work, he commits his soul to God. He entrusts his soul to God. And all the sun is gone dark because the light is being extinguished. And he breathes his last, he's committed himself to God. Not to what's fair. He's committed himself. He's trusting in the Heavenly Father to help him to die for you and for me. And this is what we need to do. You are all intelligent people. You all have the ability to anticipate unfairness in your life. You know it's going to happen. There's going to be things that are going to happen today that is unfair. You're going to be cooking something, and one of the kids is going to complain about what's being put on the table. You've been struck. What's going to come out of you? A blessing or a curse? Patience or anger? In Christ, we have options. In Christ, we have the help of the Holy Spirit that wants to bear his fruit in and through your life in the midst of the unfairness. So it's not about having a smooth, easy life. It's actually, I think, being in Christ, I think, secures unfairness for you. It secures the reality that you are going to suffer maybe even more than someone who doesn't know the Lord. Because God's interested in developing and maturing you so that you can be just like Jesus, who cares for the unimportant, who ministers to those who are killing him, who in his dying breath is more concerned about ministering to others than getting the sympathy from the crowd. This is the work that God wants to do in and through you. Jesus has led the way, and Jesus will help you and help me to live the gospel, to know the presence of God in deep suffering, in costly sacrifice. So what's that going to look like? How are we going to put the rubber on the road in our lives? Well, let me just work through some areas. For those of us who are married, there have been many times in my ministry, and I've heard this many times in the world, people who have been married for many years, sometimes one, the husband or the wife, has said to me, or I've heard others say this, that the person they married is not the person they're currently married to. So when they got married, perhaps they married someone who was largely happy and carefree, someone who shone. But years down the road, their husband or their wife has changed. And they don't shine anymore. And they cry more. Or they're not so nice to be around. They seem distant. They may worry a lot. Is that fair? Of course not. So you need the gospel then. You need Jesus. So that as this suffering strikes you, what will come out? Is not grace unmerited favor? Is this not what Jesus wants you to learn? To be able to show grace to your husband or to your wife that does not deserve it at all? They do not deserve your kindness, your forgiveness, your patience, your gentleness, and your self-control. But you will give it. Because that is Christ. That is the person of Christ. That is the ministry of Christ. That's how and where the gospel can work. It can work in the most painful places of our lives. Because we see it working in Christ, in his death, on the cross. And he wants us to be like him. And to me, that's far richer than being told, oh, believe in Jesus and you'll get that sports car and you'll have the big house and your kids will grow up straight. No. Believe in Jesus and your kids may not become believers or they may live immoral lives and break your heart over and over again. But the comfort is in this, that as you grieve and as you're struck, grace is going to come out, not curse. This is what Christ has won for us on the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, for the great work he has done for us. For Lord, we are full of that which is unfair, unkind, rude, jealous, resentful, angry, unforgiving. Lord, we are unloving people, and yet we receive grace from you. We receive forgiveness. We receive everlasting life because Jesus bled on the cross for us and he died for us. His body was broken for us. We're set free. So Lord, help us to give the same love, the same grace that we enjoy to those who don't deserve it, to those that hurt us, to those that cause us great pain in our lives. Lord, as we're struck over and over again every day, Lord, teach us to fly to you, to run to you, to find refuge in Christ, that as we're struck, Lord, may grace come out of us. Because we pray it, and we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.